I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Well, I think having a unanimous vote was really great, and they were hoping for it. People were hoping for it because there should be no question. If you're going to win or lose, you have to win or lose at the ballot box, not in a courtroom. And it was a really well-crafted decision. People were very happy about it. Actually, all sides pretty much were respectful of it. They spent their time focusing on the country and making America great again. And that would be a lot better than just wasting their time. I've been going through it for years, beating them for years. And it's the same voices, the same faces. They never stop. They don't care about our country. I don't think they love our country, frankly.
I believe that the former President Trump is correct. Many of those on the other side do not really love our country. But they have to acknowledge the Supreme Court ruling yesterday, unanimous ruling, that he cannot be kept off of various states because they don't like him. That's really what they were going after. They want to claim, well, he had insurrection charge. He was never really charged with insurrection. He was certainly never convicted of insurrection. But they were just manufacturing it out of thin air, saying, in Colorado, we have the right to kick him off the ballot. And then came Maine, and then the state of Illinois, and others were lining up to do the same. And, of course, in Republican states, they're saying, you want to play that game? We can start kicking Biden off our general and primary election ballot in our state. The Supreme Court saw through all of that and said, first of all, this does not fit any reasonable consideration for denying the man an opportunity to run for president. Let the voters decide that it should be going back to Congress if they want to change things. They were all hinging everything on the 14th Amendment, Article 3, which was put in place after the Civil War. That was meant entirely to keep Confederate leaders from going back down to the South, being elected to the House of Congress, maybe in presidency, and then switching everything that had been accomplished with their surrender. That's how deep they were diving. I mean, they were diving to the bottom of the trash dumpster. What can you find? Oh, here's a banana peel. Oh, here's a half-eaten apple. Somebody put their dog poop in. They found nothing. Nothing. Thanks for joining us. Here we are, March 5, 2024. This is Super Tuesday. And, of course, we're watching all of that happen for you as we're on the air. And reminding you, when we're on the air, every Monday through Friday, 6 to 8 p.m., we're also streaming video for you. You can watch, and I encourage you to watch. You'll get a big kick out of it. At Larry Connors USA, Twitter, Rumble, which is a big platform, or Facebook. Or you can go to News Talk STL, Rumble, Twitter, Facebook, and even YouTube. We don't get on YouTube, but News Talk STL does. So choose whichever platform you want. If you miss anything, I always encourage you to go back, pull it up, listen to it, or watch it. Share it with others. Every time you share, you multiply our audience by X factors over and over again. And I thank you for that. I get notices from people all over the nation because I want to remind you of something. The app, the News Talk STL app, is free. And you simply put it on your phone and you can listen to us from anywhere in the world. And, of course, we're streaming audio all the time, 24 hours a day. And reminding you that for the St. Louis market, and it's going to be changing beyond this market as well, now that George Soros has bought up all the Odyssey stations, just waiting for final approval, and George Soros will control many of conservative voices and stations that exist not only in the St. Louis area, but elsewhere across the nation, but not this station. He has no control over this station, nor what we say. I want you to keep that in mind. I want you to keep it in mind if you think about becoming a sponsor for a 100% patriotic program. Conservative, independent, and yet we'll also give a share to the liberal side when it justifies it. We will not censor speech either way. And we are the number one in the St. Louis market for the most live, the most conservative radio talk in the region. Number one. And none of us like George Soros coming in. I regret for some of my friends that work at the other stations. I pray they're going to come out of it okay. All right, so Trump was also responding to a New York Times Siena poll, which we discussed with you yesterday. But I want you to hear from him first, and I'll break down details for you again.
We have a different country than we had even 2 years ago. This whole migrant invasion of our country, destruction of our country. You look at what's happened to New York and Chicago. You look at what's happened to Los Angeles. We have a much different country in many ways, but also from a voting standpoint. People that were modestly happy 3 years ago are devastated right now. Their country has been invaded. They can't go to hospitals. They can't go to schools. They can't use their playgrounds for their kids. They cancel out the Little Leagues. I read today where Little Leagues are being canceled out all over the country because you have migrants living all over the parks and the fields. Our country is a mess, and I think you have a much different country than you do. We're going to make a heavy play for New York. We're going to make a heavy play for Virginia, states that generally don't go Republican. I think they're going to go Republican in a lot. I think they've got, I think the Democrats have themselves a big problem.
Oh, yes. Yes, they do. The New York Times Siena poll, just to give you a brief sketch of it, I'll get into more details in the second portion here. But the New York Times Siena poll showing Trump gains with women and Latinos, Biden's disapproval increases, working class voters desert Biden, especially minority voters. In fact, last year, in 2020, I should say, Biden won 72% of working class voters of color who did not attend college. He won 72%. Well, they're smart, and they're smarter now than they were then. They're not buying hook, bait, sinker, everything that the Democrats are throwing at them. Now they're recognizing, we'll think for ourselves, thank you. And now the numbers show that where Biden had 70%, 72% of those voters in 2020, the Times Siena poll shows Biden narrowly leading among those candidates, 47% to 41%. Now, that's still 6 points difference, but look where they were, 72% for Trump. And then, of course, you have the Democrats who are going to deny. We already know that Hillary Clinton wants to get away, do away with the Electoral College. You talk about trying to overthrow an election, as they want to claim happened on January 6th, an insurrection. You're talking about with Hillary Clinton destroying the U.S. Constitution because the Electoral College is inside the Constitution. She wants to get rid of it. She wants all popular vote to count, which would mean the East and the West Coast will swallow up the rest of the nation, and especially all the illegals, assuming they get a chance to vote, which you know many will, especially the ballot boxes, which are not guarded. They'll be stuffed. By the time they finish going through it, well, of course it will look as lopsided as it did. But the Electoral College votes are what count. And, of course, the ruling by the court yesterday just entrenches Donald Trump. And it is hair on fire day for all the Democrats. And here's an example, Jamie Raskin of Maryland.
I am working with a number of my colleagues, including Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Eric Swalwell, to revive legislation that we had to set up a process by which we could determine that someone who committed insurrection is disqualified by Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Mm,
what a brain trust. Jamie Raskin, Eric Swalwell, and Debbie Wasserman Schultz. If there ever was a trio that could best be called the political three stooges, you got them right there. These are people who have have lost their minds. They honestly think that somehow they should decide who gets to be on the ballot, not the American voters. And they keep talking about insurrection. Nobody's been charged with insurrection. Nobody's been convicted. And I don't know if Jamie Raskin has ever read the Constitution. Maybe he ought to brush up on it and find out that there is a presumption of innocence, and you have to be proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt by a jury of your peers, none of which has ever happened to Donald Trump. Even Jack Smith, who was a deranged anti-Trump hater, even he hasn't charged Donald Trump with insurrection for a simple reason, because Donald Trump didn't commit insurrection. That's why. They would have charged him if they thought they could.
How many times have I stated the same? If they could have charged him with it, they would be blaring it from the headlines from the highest mountains all over the world every day. But they can't. And, of course, the reaction there to Jamie Raskin came from Asa Hutchinson, former governor of Arkansas. Now, Huckabee. And Huckabee was pointing out, you point to Raskin, Swalwell, and Wasserman Schultz. They're the three stooges of the Democrat Party right now. But they think we can get enough put together to retool and reattack Donald Trump in the court on charges that don't even exist. But don't worry, don't let the facts get in the way of a good narrative. Once again, former Governor Huckabee.
Nobody's been charged with insurrection. Nobody's been convicted. And I don't know if Jamie Raskin has ever read the Constitution. Maybe he ought to brush up on it and find out that there is a presumption of innocence, and you have to be proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt by a jury of your peers, none of which has ever happened to Donald Trump. Even Jack Smith, who was a deranged anti-Trump hater, even he hasn't charged Donald Trump with insurrection for a simple reason, because Donald Trump didn't commit insurrection. That's why. They would have charged him if they thought they could. So the whole thing is nonsense, but it really does show the depravity, the moral depravity of these people who honestly think that they're just a little better than the rest of us.
They do think they're a little better than you. I thought they said no one is above the law. They are, not you. All of these latest polls, and there are several, are not good for Joe Biden. Yesterday, we told you about the New York Times Siena poll, and I mentioned it a few moments ago. Now there's a CBS poll that spells even more doom for Joe Biden. But here in the midst of the fire around him is a cry from a Democrat claiming it's just not that hot.
I think it's time to start reminding people that Donald Trump was president till January of 2021, and 2020 was one of the worst economic years in the history of the United States of America. Yes, prices were down in 2020 because nobody was driving their car and you could get gas for $1 a gallon. Nobody was leaving their home. Nobody was working. The man failed to protect us during COVID, and he's going to be reminded of that for the next year. The economy was a mess when Joe Biden took over this country. He avoided a recession that Donald Trump had laid the groundwork for. So, yeah, I get it. People have nostalgia, but they forget about 2020. But let me tell you, Donald Trump wants everybody to forget 2020 unless he's counting it towards his immigration numbers. Nobody was coming to the United States in 2020 because of Article 42, which was a COVID-based restriction. No, we're going to remind everybody of all 4 years of the Trump presidency. They were an unmitigated disaster.
No, they weren't. I mean, really, you know that yourself. You know what you paid for gasoline. When COVID hit, yes, things went upside down. It wouldn't have made a difference who was in charge at that point. Everything went upside down. Supply chains were cut. We weren't sure what we were going to get. People were not going out. Businesses were failing. They weren't getting any customers. All because of, now we know, a lot of illegal, stupid rules. Remember the 6-foot distancing? You had to stand on the dot if you went into a store. They've since admitted, we just kind of arbitrarily made it up, like a lot of the other science and what they covered up. Now, That was Chris Hahn, a Democrat strategist. Says, you forget how bad it was under Trump. No, I remember how good it was under Trump. And then, of course, COVID hit. Now, I mentioned surveys. CBS has a poll out. 60%, 65% believe the economy was good during Trump. How's that sit in your crawl, Chris Hahn? How about 59% believe the economy is down? How does that sit with you? How about 44% believe Trump's prices will be much lower? And under Biden, 17%, Biden would bring prices down. How does all that sit with what you were just spewing, Chris Hahn? Well, on the other side, we have Mick Mulvaney, an analyst for News Nation.
Some of the numbers in this poll are just disturbing for the Biden team. You mentioned one of them about people think that Biden policies will make prices go up. That's really bad for President Biden. There's more data in there that suggests that people think his immigration policies are likely to allow more people into the country, not less. I think Trump is beating him by almost 50 points on that particular topic. You go deeper, you see that Donald Trump is polling about 23% with African-American voters. Put that in perspective. He got 6% in 2016, about 12% in 2020, and he's polling at 23% now with African-American voters, polling at 46% with Hispanic voters. If that holds, I think even Chris would admit, it's really hard for Biden to win. I get the messaging. I understand that the Democrats have been saying that all along. They need to make the election about Donald Trump and not Joe Biden, and I get that. This is one of the reasons they need to do that, because Biden is really suffering right now in these polling data.
However, Chris Hahn wants to go with James Carville. It's all about the money, stupid.
It's always the economy. Right. At the end of the day, immigration always bubbles up as an issue in every election, and it is never a decisive issue in a national election. Sure, it riles up the bases on both sides, frankly, but it is never what makes the swing voters vote. The swing voters vote about things they can touch, see, feel, taste. Most of them cannot understand or are not having any direct impact by the immigration crisis at the border. They don't see it in their daily lives. They won't vote on it. I think Mick will agree with me on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mick, the Gallup poll found that 55% of voters believe immigration is a critical threat. Does that translate to more support for Republicans on the ballot when Democrats are now blaming GOP inaction for the chaos?
I think 99 times out of 100, if not more, Chris is right, that ordinarily it is the economy, stupid, and Carville was correct a couple decades ago. This might be the exception, Markey, and here's why. Ordinarily, this is an issue that is just used to rile up the base, as Chris says. It gets our Republican base out. It gets his Democrat base out. This year might be different because people are starting to see it for the first time. They're starting to see it in their blue cities. They're starting to hear their Democrat governors and Democrat mayors complain about Democrat policies in Washington, D.C. They're seeing the young woman who got killed by an illegal immigrant down in Georgia. They're seeing this. It's becoming a crime and safety issue in addition to an economic issue. This might be the one time it's different, and the border might stay as that top issue. And if it does, look, even if it doesn't, Biden is losing in this polling information or polling data on closing the border. He's losing on making the economy better. You have to get fairly deep down into the list of important topics before you see anything that people think he's doing well.
Well, next to come, still in this hour, pundits predicting Israel cannot defeat Hamas, and an exclusive interview of Will Scharf, a member of the Trump team, arguing before the court. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Pigeons, they are everywhere, and they're very good at dive-bombing freshly washed cars. Wellington Environmental reminds you, those droppings are more than a nuisance. They can be a major health issue, especially massive droppings on buildings or in parking garages. So who do you call to safely clean it up? You do what many hospitals, universities, public buildings already do. You call Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental has been dealing with all kinds of hazards for 35 years. Special people, special skills, special equipment. Wellington gets it done. So to avoid health issues ranging from pigeon droppings to mold to chemical leaks, contact Wellington. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. WellingtonSTL.com. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Great news for my sponsor, Napoli C. And it's no surprise to me nor hundreds who have dined there. The first time I entered, it was clear Napoli C is unique. The decor, the fish, imaginative cocktails. And, of course, Napoli C is right next door to Napoli 3 in St. Charles. Napoli 2 is in Town and Country. The original Cafe Napoli is in Clayton. And I'm honored to endorse each of them. Visit any of the Cafe Napolis.
This is News Talk STL.
I'm chasing tail lights, straight as a crow flies, hunting just a standard country road. I've got a shotgun, it's riding shotgun, and we're both fixing to unload. Son,
this is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
The core holding of the Supreme Court's opinion is that states lack an independent ability to enforce Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. That's this insurrection provision. So while Congress could pass a law, as they did in 1870, actually, to bring into effect that provision of the 14th Amendment, states can't just go out all willy-nilly and make a decision about who's an insurrectionist and who's not. That's not the process that the 14th Amendment sets up. And the Supreme Court spoke pretty decisively on that point. In terms of the path going forward, the majority, the per curiam opinion here, which five justices signed on to, seems to indicate that Congress would have to pass new legislation to bring into effect this provision of the 14th Amendment. We agree with that, of course, and I think it's highly unlikely that that will occur on any sort of time frame that could affect the 2024 election.
That is the opinion of Will Scharf, who's also a Missouri candidate for the Attorney General. He is also on the Trump legal team that was fighting that battle in front of the Supreme Court regarding keeping Trump on the ballot all across the nation. He was a guest today on the Mike Ferguson program, and that was Mike Ferguson, part of the interview with Will Scharf. I'm going to break it down in more detail for you in a moment, but the essence, I love this term, the courts and the public and the states can't just willy-nilly decide who's going to be on the ballot. That takes away your right to vote, your franchise. And here we hear from the left on a consistent pounding of the drum, voters' rights are being denied because they have to show a voter ID. You want to deny folks a right to vote for a candidate of their choice just by stripping them from the ballot on false charges, nothing to support it. As you were hearing in the preceding segment, there was Jamie Raskin saying, oh, we're going to get together, Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Eric Swalwell, and we're going to come up with a way in Congress to make sure this doesn't happen again. Well, go for it. It will not affect this election. This is on track, and now State of Colorado has had to rescind its order to keep Trump off the ballot. State of Maine doing the same. State of Illinois. I don't know if they decided yet or not. I could care less because they're going to have to. And no other state who thought they could pull this off. They've now been served notice by a unanimous ruling from the Supreme Court. This is not a valid case. Mike Ferguson picks up part of the interview with Will Scharf.
Is the fact that it was 9-0 completely unanimous important in a different way, or does that matter beyond the legal sphere?
You know, Justice Barrett, in her concurring opinion, said that that's exactly the message that the American people should take away from this decision, that on this core question of constitutional law, the Supreme Court was ruling unanimously. And I think that's really important because we've heard breathless commentary from leftists in the mainstream media that Trump's an insurrectionist and he needs to be kicked off the ballot. We've heard even pretty serious legal commentators on the left give air and give voice to this argument that he could be kicked off the ballot for years now. And even Justices Kagan and Sotomayor and Ketanji Brown Jackson said that's just not the way the system works. So I think it's great that we won. I think it's even better that this was a unanimous decision that hopefully the whole country will be able to accept and come around to.
Yeah, they should accept and come around to, but they're not going to. They are very poor losers, really. Now, I know you say the same about some conservatives. I'm not going to deny that. But generally, when the Republicans are, quote, losers, it's because the game's been rigged. But now they went all the way to the Supreme Court, and they were looking forward to it. They were sure. Believe me, the state of Colorado did not remove Trump thinking they would get the Supreme Court and be thrown out. They did not believe that. Neither did Maine, neither did Illinois, neither did millions of Democrats across the nation. Oh, they'll get them. They'll kick them off because of what? Insurrection? May we go back through the legal issue that faces Trump? I know you can count on 92 different charges against him. Of those, one civil, guilty, no criminal. And on top of that, of course, his pretense that as executive of the U.S., he is immune from these. Now, we're still going through that hassle. I don't have time to go down that rabbit hole. But the bottom line is, the most essential thing being, they were saying, if he's convicted of insurrection, he cannot serve on the court. In fact, Jamie Raskin said, we're going to make sure that no insurrectionist can serve on the court. Really? that's pretty interesting because, first of all, you don't have Trump as an insurrectionist. He's not been charged not one time with insurrection. Not one. I think, and I'm not a lawyer, I took the LSAT, but I didn't go to law school, but I think you have to be charged to be convicted in this nation. Now, they may be operating on third world nations where we just grab somebody and string them up. They got to be guilty. We're not quite back to the days of cattle rustling and they catch a guy on a horse riding across the farmer's land or the rancher's land, and he's the only one they see, so he must be the culprit for some of the cattle that got stolen. Judge, jury, right there under the hanging tree, it's done. That's the old Wild West, and believe me, I know that history. I grew up in Pecos, the home of the hanging judge, basically. But we don't do that nowadays. We have a system of law and order. Of course, it's meant for everyone, but on the left, well, we don't have to follow the law and order. And in fact, if we don't like it, we'll cause trouble, and we dare you to arrest us. And in fact, we've got other members of our party willing to stand in line and offer money and put up bail if you're going to require it. Otherwise, we get George Soros-appointed prosecutors to basically say, no charge, no crime here, you're free to go about the countries you choose. Same attitude about the border. Let anyone in. We don't know who they are, where they're from, what their intent is. but they're here. Just let them go and give them a court date, probably 6, 8, maybe 10 years down the road to come back and explain why they're here. Good luck with that. That decision between out of the U.S. Supreme Court yesterday, 9-0, did have the underlying current on a 5-4 vote that included conservative Justice Amy Coney Barrett siding with the three liberals. As she said, the suit was brought by Colorado voters under the state law and state court. It does not require us to address the complicated question whether federal legislation is the exclusive vehicle through which Section 3 can be enforced. And she said the majority's choice of a different path leaves the remaining justices with a choice on how to respond. The court has settled a politically charged issue in the volatile session of a presidential election. Particularly in this circumstance, writings on the court should turn the national temperature down, not up. For present purposes, our differences are far less important than our unanimity. All nine justices agree on the outcome of this case. This is the message Americans should take home. Jamie Raskin, are you out there? Did you hear that? Once again to Mike Ferguson in the morning and Mike's question for Will Scharf.
This isn't about necessarily just 2024 or Donald Trump, although that's obviously the main focus right now, but this is setting a standard for future elections.
That's correct. With respect to this this insurrectionist argument, you would need to see implementing legislation passed by Congress and signed by the president through the normal process that bills go through that would set up a process to do that. That's actually what Congress did in 1870 and what they haven't done more recently. That's what the court seems to be queuing on, that the 14th Amendment sets up a system. That system hasn't been followed here. And it's a system that would be difficult to implement now. I think the court doesn't want to set up a situation where candidates can be held off the ballot through all but the most serious processes. So that's the situation going forward. I think it's very, very unlikely that you're going to see this issue litigated again anytime soon. And I think that's good for the country. I think the situation that we were in prior to this judgment, where state officers without any due process, without any certainly without any criminal prosecutions, without really much of anything, felt empowered to make decisions for the American people about who could and couldn't be on the ballot. That's untenable just from the perspective of our constitutional system.
Untenable. My thanks to Mike Ferguson and the Mike Ferguson Show for sharing that interview with Will Scharf, current Missouri candidate for attorney general, but also a member of the Trump team with that argument before the court. But lest you think that is the final word, let me quote something from NBC News. One of their analysts saying, this ruling, quote, will be seen by many people as the court essentially interfering in some sense in the election. They wouldn't have even been looking at the case, except the state of Colorado decided it would interfere with the election. And to that point, my guest in the next hour, John Daniel Davidson, the Federalist, he points out the recent unanimous Supreme Court ruling should be a stark reminder that Democrats aren't playing by the rules anymore, as if they ever were. You want to hear John Daniel Davidson's viewpoint on that coming up in the next hour. Before this hour is out, some of the latest on Super Tuesday, what's at stake, and then the Israelis are being told you can't really beat Hamas. You have to understand the Israelis do not buy that kind of propaganda. Stand by, please.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
I got an email which brought a smile. A woman named Mary wrote me, we are purchasing a new roof from John Beale based on your recommendation. I thanked her then. I do it again now. Mary, I only endorse clients I believe in, and I've been a spokesman for John Beale for 10 years. It's all about trust. So if, like Mary, you need John Beale, trust me.
Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
The United States Deputy Sheriff's Association is a national nonprofit and the largest non-governmental provider of services to law enforcement. The USDSA assists city, county, state, and federal agencies with free safety equipment donations and officer survival training, along with cash donations to families of law enforcement officers who perished in the line of duty, a citizen awareness program, and more. For more information on United States Deputy Sheriff's Association, please visit usdeputy.org.
I like supporting local companies that give back to the community. For more than 40 years, Vincent's Jewelers has helped raise more than $1.5 million for local charities. So I'm personally asking that when you're shopping for jewelry, give Vincent's a chance. And in turn, Vincent's will give even more to our community. On Olive, just east of 270, new specials every day on vincentsjewelers.com or Vincent's Facebook.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA! That's a big game, man!
She's really losing control.
China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
McGuire Moving will come to your home or office and give you a free, honest appraisal. Not over the phone. That way you won't be shocked come moving day. Really tight budget? McGuire will offer advice that could save you even more money. McGuire, fully licensed and insured, also has climate-controlled storage for you. McGuireMoving.com. It's that simple. Just remember, you're moving anything, anytime, McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
I hear the train a-coming. It's rolling around the bend. And I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison. And time keeps dragging on.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, so this is Super Tuesday, and Super Tuesday has a lot at stake. It is not likely, in fact, I would say it is impossible for Trump to win the nomination, even though a lot of delegates are in play. It probably, according to some experts, would be maybe March 12th, maybe the 14th, before he could actually claim the Republican nomination. And, of course, his primary opponent is Nikki Haley. She did win. She did win, which is no surprise, the 19 delegates in D.C. the other day. But we have 15 states today voting on Super Tuesday. Alabama, Alaska, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Maine, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, Texas, Utah, Vermont, Virginia, and one territory, American Samoa, all voting today. And that would be all part of the 15 on Super Tuesday. The results of the Democrat contest in Iowa, which was held by May over several weeks, will also be revealed today. Iowa Republicans will hold their caucus in mid-January. Iowa Republicans held their caucus in mid-January. All states are on the same, except for Alaska, GOP only, and Iowa, results from the Democrat mail-in vote. American Samoa will have only a Democrat primary on Tuesday. The total number of delegates on this Super Tuesday is 854 for the GOP. That's 35% of the total delegates that the winner will need. They need something like 1,215 ballots to be nominated by the party. And the Democrats have a higher threshold, but there's no real push against Joe Biden inside his primary, so you shouldn't expect that to happen. With Joe Biden basically running against no one, he should obviously wax the floor from left to right. But the Republicans, Haley, can still cause an issue for Trump. And here's where. To win the Republican nomination, he needs 1,215 delegates. And again, there are 865 Republican delegates at stake today. But out of the states I listed, 11 of those 15 states are holding GOP primaries that are open to more than just registered voters. Here's the tactic. If you're a Haley supporter or you're a Democrat and you just don't want to face Trump, they will go and vote in those primaries and they'll be voting for Haley. So don't be surprised if her numbers look bigger and she will look up at it as a win. But smart politicians and the money that's coming to her is coming from smart people. They've got to be looking past that and realize, well, Haley, you're getting those because it's a no vote against Trump, which maybe, again, will give her an incentive and them that, hey, if this many are against Trump, maybe we could still pull this out. Haley has made it very clear. She was asked again, would you consider running with Donald Trump? Her attitude is, I don't consider running with anyone. Why don't you ask Donald Trump that? Start with that, and when he gives you an answer, I will. I'm in here because once I start talking about that I would be willing to run second with someone on a ticket, I'm conceding that I'm going to lose. I'm not going to do that. So, no, I'm not going to answer it, and I don't plan on doing so. I plan on winning. Bravo to Nikki for that, and I certainly understand her approach on it. And the money, and keep in mind, a lot of the money Nikki Haley has been getting is direct from PACs that are associated with the Democrats. One of the biggest funders out of California and his PAC threw a big bash for Joe Biden back this last summer. Did he suddenly change his mind and think, you know, maybe Joe, he was just hung up on eating ice cream and nothing else, and I don't need him anymore. No. No, they're looking at how they continue to keep him in office. Prop him up, hold him up, keep him behind the curtain, down in the basement, where we can, roll him out when we need to, or do videotape in his bedroom so he doesn't have to get out of bed, and we will maintain our control. But the problem they're facing, the economics, as we were discussing in a previous segment, you've got those who are saying that economics is just like when James Carville said it, follow the money, stupid. It is the money, stupid. Well, it's not just the money nowadays. Immigration is a bigger issue because it is touching everyone. If it were still just confined to those dealing with it at the border, I'd agree and say immigration's just not going to count. But I think this time around, it's going to be a major factor. Oh, and for those who are also thinking that maybe come the conference, the convention, Democrat convention this summer, which will be held in Chicago, I don't know how and why they decided to go to Chicago. Obama's passed there. Maybe they thought they'd get something special out of it. But that might all blow up in their face. And speaking of Obama, Michelle Obama was asked again, and she replied in a statement to NBC News, and let me quote it. As First Lady Michelle Obama, this is according to the director of her communications, as First Lady Michelle Obama has expressed several times over the years, she will not be running for president. And Michelle Obama suggests President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris continue to be reelected. Well, there's a recent Rasmussen study that found nearly 50% of Democrats support replacing Joe Biden at the top of the chart. And among them, many would like to see Michelle Obama, 20%. Compared to Kamala, that's not that big, but still a number. And, of course, there are the other thoughts that maybe someone else will come in place at the last minute. Gavin Newsom, standing off wing, might suddenly walk in and say, I'm here to save the day. Yeah, right. I wouldn't count on that happening as well either. But again, this Super Tuesday, by the time all the votes were counted, we'll see how many votes Trump gets. But again, as I stated earlier, even with 865 delegates allocated, if he got all of them, he'd still fall short. He needs 1,215 delegates, even with the ones he's already got. And in fact, the Deputy Director for Elections and Data Analytics estimates, much as what I said, March 12 is the earliest date, by which Trump could win enough delegates to clinch the Republican nomination. And again, I can't help but point out for you again, so you do not get shocked if you see big numbers for Nikki Haley. 11 of those 15 states that are holding GOP contests today on Super Tuesday are open for more than just registered Republicans. So I would look for the other party to come in and try to flood the ballot boxes the best they can, depending upon their time and so forth. Most are closing around 7 to 8 in their time zone. And the official and primary caucus results won't be announced officially for most states immediately. There will be those jumping ahead of the gun. And this is just the primary. We still have the general election to come. Don't forget about that. And don't forget, later this week, 2 days from now, Thursday, it would have been today. Normally, the State of the Union address is delivered on this Tuesday. But because it's Super Tuesday, Joe Biden is be holding his joint session of Congress for his State of the Union address Thursday. Now, keep in mind, it has been pushed aside before. Nancy Pelosi did it to Trump. She didn't want him to have the opportunity to speak right away. And so he did. He put it aside. I mean, they are invited by the House to come to Congress and deliver their State of the Union address. And at the time, Pelosi was claiming, well, the U.S. Secret Service has not been funded for nearly a month because of the government shutdown, so I'm disinviting Trump from giving the address. He eventually gave it 35 days later, and as you well remember, Nancy behind him, after he was done, ripped up her pages. And remember the ladies in white that showed up for the Democrats on that first State of the Union address? He would say something praising, and we have more women in legislature in our Congress than ever before. And they were thinking, that's praise for us. Do we stand? Do we stand or not stand? Once they saw Pelosi stand, well, then they went ahead and stood and applauded. They all take their cues. All right, let me turn away from our politics in the U.S., and yet we're still wrapped inside of them, inside our politics and international situation. Dan Abrams, which is with News Nation, was interviewing an Israeli spokesman about the difficulty of actually destroying, I don't mean just getting rid of, but destroying Hamas.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone. Or your entire office, Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
There's no way. Hamas isn't going to, quote, surrender. You know that that's not going to happen. And there's going to be no way to effectively end Hamas. You may be able to degrade their ability. You may kill a lot of fighters. But there's not going to be a way to, quote, unquote, eliminate Hamas. Hamas entirely, right?
No, we don't accept that. We think that you can remove it from power, just as the United States...
Remove it from power is different from eliminating.
We will dismantle its military and governing infrastructure so it can no longer govern Gaza in the way it has used it in the last 16 years to oppress the Palestinian people and terrorize Israelis, or use it as one massive launch pad for rockets against Israel, just as the U.S. and 85 nations ganged together 10 years ago to remove ISIS from power in Syria and Iraq. It was difficult, it was bloody, but in the end, that terrorist group was removed from power so it could no longer use territory to use as a base for attacks against people around the world, and we will do the same.
And I no doubt they will do the same. But that was Dan Abrams of News Nation saying, there's no way you can destroy them. I want to tell you, the Israeli soldiers and people do not buy propaganda. They don't eat it up like many in this nation do. They stand firm, defiant, and we will pursue the job until it's done. They have offered, if you want a peace plan, release all the hostages. You'll have peace before Ramadan starts, which is also this month, a very busy month. March 10 will be the start of Ramadan. If they don't release those hostages, and there's estimated to be maybe 100 that are still being held that are alive by Hamas at this time, if they will release them, then maybe all the fighting will stop. And, of course, in the meantime, they've got the leftist media carrying all the water for them, claiming that there are people starving in Gaza. And I know that, and my heart breaks for those kids, but my heart also breaks for all the illegals that are being allowed inside our country by this administration. And I do not hear a single lib crying about the children brought across our border and put into sex slave dens, or maybe pushed to work with dangerous equipment, basically enslaved. Where are you? Where are you crying out for those children? It doesn't fit the narrative. The narrative hit AOC in the face last night, she and her boyfriend. I didn't know she had a boyfriend, I'll have to admit. Not that I care. But she was going to a movie with him, and a bunch of anti-Israeli protesters were harassing AOC outside the movie. They were saying, you need to call it genocide. And she said, we don't want to do that. Don't do that. They weren't going to listen to AOC. I'm glad to see they didn't. But then back to this issue of that Hamas cannot be destroyed. Again, the response of the Israeli spokesman, Levy.
Our military campaign has far exceeded expectations. Half of Hamas's terrorists are either dead, wounded, or apprehended. It started the war with 24 battalions. 18 have been shattered. Essentially, only the last four in Rafah are still on its feet. And the vast underground military tunnel network we are systematically destroying, taking out those underground headquarters where Hamas has been trying in the most evil, despicable way to hide underneath.
Well, we all know that they're using civilians as human shields.
Well, we all know that. I've been surprised in many media interviews I do. It's not obvious.
Okay, well, it's obvious here. All right. On this program, it is an obvious reality that Hamas is intentionally, not just using them, intentionally using humans, civilians as shields in an effort to protect themselves. Agreed. But the reality is there's still an enormous number of Gazans who are now suffering. And that's, as I was just saying to Cenk, that's bad for Israel, right? I mean, when civilians are getting killed, it's bad for Israel. When civilians in Gaza are borderline starving, that's bad for Israel.
It's bad for Israel when innocent Israelis are being killed by a terrorist group like Hamas. And yes, they don't want to kill innocent women and children, but if Hamas would not hide under their beds and under their hospitals, that wouldn't happen. I don't hear Dan Abrams calling them out on that point. Oh, by the way, we've had numerous reports throughout the day that Facebook and Instagram platforms have gone down from time to time. Well, what do you know? Super Tuesday and issues. More in the next hour. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.